Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen, and on today's show, we're going to check out Matthew 13 and ask, why is it called the parable of the sower? So stay tuned.
That was really good.
Because why is it called the parable of the sower? He doesn't even talk about the sower.
That's true. That's a good question. Welcome back to New Every Day. So glad that you've tuned in. We are just so glad to welcome Jen back. You were at camp all summer.
I was at camp all summer, and
how
it was
that?
Just a great opportunity to hang out with kids and hang out with I want to say staff who are like older kids. As I get older, everybody under 20
looks like a kid.
But it was just really cool to watch God move and to answer prayer and for kids to come to know Jesus. And yeah, so totally loved being at camp, but also realized that this is where I'm called to serve during the off months.
The off months.
The off months. But excited about the passage that we're looking at today. I know coming back into our church, I was really motivated to talk about the fact that we need to grow, that Christ does not call us just to be saved and that's it. I believe we've talked about that before. It's not just, you know, you're saved for heaven and you're done. It very much is, no, you're saved now. Now let's grow in this relationship. And so I was challenged to think, okay, well, how do we, what are the things we need to do in order to grow in our relationship with God? So I automatically go to the, I want to say the go-to list. We need to pray more. We need to read our Bible more. We need to, and not that doing anything more is going to elevate us in Christ. That's not the reason we do anything.
What do you mean by elevate us?
Like, oh, well, I'm a better Christian
okay.
if I read my Bible more than Carrie. Or I'm, you know,
like God and I are closer.
Yeah. Or Carrie is a better Christian because she, you know, is more compassionate and caring towards other people. That's not it. That's not why we read our Bibles or pray or show compassion. That's not it. It is strictly the grace of God, the blood of Christ that saves us. But because we want to grow in relationship with God, to get to know Him more, we need to read our Bibles more. We need to pray more. We need to practice kindness and compassion and serving and giving.
And engaging in discipleship.
Yeah.
The picture that you shared with me that I'll share with you is when you come into someone's home and we welcome you into our home here. And each week, and the picture of discipleship is that you, when you welcome someone into your home, first you start out kind of in the lobby, small talk, and then you get closer with the people that you're with, and you move into the living room and maybe sit down. And as you engage in conversation and spending time together, slowly the conversation eventually ends up in the kitchen, where all the closest conversations happen. And speaking of kitchen, since you're welcomed into our home, I have apple crisp in the oven, and you're going to hear a timer go off. We're going to take a commercial break at that point.
And so, no, we're not mailing you any.
Just no, it wouldn't make it. No.
No.
Anyways, but that's the picture of discipleship. Getting closer in relationship, not an elevation in status.
Yes.
Right?
Because the thing is with relationship, if I do things to make Carrie think better of me, just so she thinks better of me, isn't necessarily the right motivation. Or that it can, because it can create pride, and I'm doing things for the wrong reason, versus no, I genuinely care about building relationship, and so I will choose to do things. There's a difference there. It's all the motivation behind it. So like I choose to read my Bible because I want to know what God is saying. I want to hear Him speaking to me, or I choose to pray because I want to have that relationship, and so I was really challenged because Paul talks about the fact that we are to press on, right? It's not just about, okay, you're in the race, No, like you're to press on to the finish line. Like you're actually supposed to be taking steps forward, and those taking steps forward are like growing in your faith, sharing your story, all those discipleship things that we talked about. And so that's a very long story to get to the fact that, so my question came to mind that I wonder how many people went when I said give more.
Scared me.
Or she said serve more. She said serve more. What does she mean by serve more? And like their blood pressure starts to rise. Or when I said, you know, I'm challenged to pray more. Like, honestly, I was challenged to pray more over the summer because I had been listening/reading to Billy Graham's Chicken Soup for the Soul, 101 Stories.
Of people who knew him, right?
Of people who knew him. And I was challenged by the number of people who talked about his integrity. But when asked what would Billy Graham do differently, he said, I would pray more and I would study more. And I'm thinking, Billy Graham is like the biggest evangelist ever. Like he has, I was thinking about today, I wonder how many, you know, people have come to know Jesus because of Billy Graham and his association. And I'm guessing like millions and mm-hmm. millions of mm-hmm. people. And yet there he is saying, I'd pray more. I'd study more. And I felt challenged because I thought, man, if he's saying that.
You do pray a lot and you do study a lot, in my opinion.
I want to do it more for the purpose of seeking God and setting that time aside.
Yeah.
And so I was really, you know, so even in my inner being, I was like, but how would I do that? I actually had to go before God to say, God, show me how to do that.
Hmm.
Show me how to pray more. Because every major revival, every major church was started in prayer. So I'm like, if I want our church to grow, then I'm going to have to pray. And not just, okay, God, I'm praying more, so you do your part. No, that's not it, because that's wrong motives. It's more like, I'm praying more because I want to spend time with God. I want to hear what he's saying. Because often, it's not the first 5 minutes that I want to say brings the revelation. It's like the last 5 minutes that brings the revelation. So often we think it's like, okay, if I can just get in 2 or 3 seconds, it's good. And sometimes the Lord meets you in those very first moments. And there have been times where I've just said, we're going to go to a commercial.
That's
and
what
on
she
that
said.
Note, oh, it just totally shut off.
Yeah.
But anyways, before we go to a commercial, I'll finish my story.
We wish that you were here with us in our living room. Then you could move into the kitchen and share some of this with us.
I know. But I can't even remember what I was saying now. Isn't
well,
that odd?
On that note,
we are going to go to a commercial and we'll come right back maybe after some apple crisp. So, but hold on to that question of, what is God challenging me to do more of? We'll be back after this commercial break.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
All right, welcome back. We've taken the apple crisp out of the oven. We're ready to get started. And Jen, you were just talking about spending more time with the Lord, and often he meets us in the last 5 minutes
yes.
rather than the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
Where were you going with that?
So I was saying
I
that sometimes we just need more. we need to press in, we need to do more, but often we're afraid of doing more. We don't think we have time to do more, or, but I'm giving enough. I'm already giving enough. But the Lord starts touching us and go, tap, 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 tap. I want you to give 11% or 15%, or I want you to give 33% of your income to me. And some of us will go like, and the question is to ask why. And so as I was preparing, I got thinking about the parable of the sower.
How is that connected?
Because there's four different soils in the parable of the sower, and it talks about the receptivity to the Word of God. And so if we can analyze our responses based on that, so we're going to actually read through that passage so you get an idea of what I'm talking about. So this passage is in Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, but we're going to read from the Matthew 13 passage. So,
all right. You want me to read from New King James?
Sure.
All right. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it."
Yep. Keep going. Verse 18.
Here we go. Hold on. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why my mind went there is because of those four soil types and how they received the word. So when we are hardened in a certain area, and the thing is, if we are surrendered to Christ, then we have been saved. But we have to ask the question, why am I not growing in this area? Is it because it's not surrendered? Is it because I have a mindset? Is it because I'm afraid of something? And so by looking at those parables, we can actually ask ourselves, or looking at those four soils, we can ask ourselves, like, serving. why, when it comes to serving, do I not want to serve or serve more? Is it because, you know, growing up, I just was always told, no, you don't need to serve. Like, you go to church on Sundays and that's all you do. So you have this harsh mindset, right? Almost like a hard ground that has been, again, like affirmed again and again and again and again. No, you don't need to do that. Right? And so is it hard packed? So when that seed of serving comes in, you immediately go like, that's not for me. That's for someone else.
So let's talk about what the seed actually is.
Yeah. Are you like?
Do it. I mean, let's talk about it. So I was understanding that the seed is the gospel, like the actual word of God, that we need to repent of our sins and accept the gift of salvation through Christ and then be changed, submitting our lives to Him and receive the Holy Spirit and then bear fruit.
Right. I'm not disagreeing.
Okay.
I am agreeing. But then there's the next step when we go beyond and continue in the process of sanctification.
So this is, the soils are not just people who have not yet received the gospel. We're talking that these are believers?
Yes, because I'm reading it in two different ways. Because
okay.
It's the Word of God. It isn't just the gospel. It is the Word of God. And when you read that passage in Matthew, it says, maybe it's not Matthew, maybe it is Mark, but it talks about how it is the Word of God. And so, but the thing is, it's truth, right? It's
mm-hmm.
truth. So whether it's the truth of salvation or the truth of sanctification, there is something in the Word of God that He is handing out, right? Because the sower goes out and sows, but it's not being received. So the question is, why is it not being received? So when, you know, an elder stands up in church and says, you know, we feel that we're called to add on another wing to our building or to sponsor this missionary, we're going to ask you to give more, and everything within you goes, oh, I couldn't possibly do that because of this, 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 and this, rather than saying, okay, Lord, what is my responsibility? So is that like the thorny grounds, right, where the cares of this world, and because all of a sudden you went to your bank book, right, your online statement, and you're like, well, no, I have my cell phone bill and I have my mortgage and, you know, I have braces to pay for, and you have all of these things, right? Because it says mm-hmm. the deceitfulness of wealth was like thorns. And so does the deceitfulness of wealth rise up within us to say, oh no, we couldn't possibly give to the Lord in that area because we need our money to do these things. So, because it's very interesting because it says the deceitfulness of wealth, and it's not that money is wrong, it's just the spirit around it can be very deceitful and causing people to believe, well, this is it, right, rather than relying on the Lord. And so that's what took me to the parable of the sower. But what's interesting, and this is the question we first started with, is, but why is it called the parable of the sower? Right? Because he actually talks about the soil.
Yeah.
All he says about the sower is a farmer went out to sow his seed. That's it.
So really, like, should it be called the parable of the soils?
And actually, I was offended on YouTube today when I was Googling, you know, research, because it said the parable of the soils. And I'm like, uh-uh. Like, because Jesus himself calls it the parable of the sower. It wasn't some, you know, Bible translator who went in, because originally there wasn't verses in there either. A Bible translator went in and marked them.
Well, he said, behold, a sower went out to sow.
No, well, yes, but in the end, if you look around verse...
therefore, hear the parable of the sower.
Yeah. So why does he call it the parable of the sower? That is what got me, because I'm like, Jesus calls it the parable of the sower. So what is it about the character of the sower that we need to know about?
And so, just to add to that, I was listening to a couple discussions about this parable. And if the Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the good news and make disciples of all the nations, right? Then this is a key scripture to understand how people are actually going to receive that word that we're going to be spreading out.
Mm-hmm.
And the value is actually in the seed that you're spreading. And the fact that the sower just... the action of the sower is just to sow the seed.
Yeah.
The goodness of the seed. Yeah.
But he actually has to...
But you have to know... Sorry. You have
and go.
To know and go.
Yeah.
And know what kind of people are going to be out there. And that not everyone is going to turn and receive the gospel right away.
But they still have to go. And that's the key thing. And that's why I wondered if that's... Is that, you know... if that is why it's called the parable of the sower. Because it's not about the reward, right? Because so often you think, I'm going to do this because, you know, I'm going to shop at Costco because I'm going to get this, or I'm going to use my card here and get my extra points because I get this. The sower is just commanded to sow, and to sow lavishly on all people.
Mm-hmm.
And so... it really is actually quite convicting when you think about that, because so often we think, well, I don't want to waste my time on that person because my reward won't be as great. And that's not God's heart. God's heart is that all people come to know him, and we are to sow lavishly.
And someone told me to pray for the person who you think is least likely in your own mind, with your own lens, that you're seeing that person who is least likely to actually accept Christ and become a Christian. Pray for that person, because you don't know what God is actually tilling in their heart.
Yes.
And there's so many places I want to go with this, but it's actually God who prepares the soil ahead of time for his seed. And our job is just to be faithful in sowing the seed.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. We got to wrap up.
We got to wrap up.
That went fast. But we have a lot more to say on this. And even now, I'm thinking of so many questions I want to ask. And Jesus, after Jesus shared this parable, the disciples said, can you explain that to us? Like, I don't really get it. And he said, if you don't understand this, how are you going to understand the other parables about the kingdom? So it's really key that we actually look into this. So I'm excited for next week, and sure hope that you'll join us and tune in to another episode of New Every Day, where we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the parable of the sower. Do you want to pray for us, Jen?
Sure. Heavenly Father, help us to be good sowers. Help us to lavish your seed, to freely give it, and to trust you to take that seed and to bring forth fruit. Thank you for our viewers today. Bless them and encourage them. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, and we will see you next week.
And thank you to one of our viewers, Kara.
Yes, who made these amazing cups for us, the New Everyday Mugs.
I know, with our favorite verse on the back.
Ta-da.
So here we go.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kara.
Thanks.